is Shiva, first of all? Shiva is a supreme character. What is the inner secret of his soul power? Shiva is the deep silence. That silence is God, the source of everything. Shiva is the infinity. That's why they say the lingam has no beginning and no end. Each part in the air, any neutron or molecule, is Shiva. Throughout your body, each cell is Shiva. Just chanting Shiva's mantra, you can see everything is his structure. He has no structure, like a zero. In the zero, there is a hero. That is spirituality. Shiva is detachment. He always sits in the deep Vairagya stage. Shiva is unbelievably loving. He's the one responsible for all the souls and is the person to give abilities to any soul. He's the person to give healing abilities. He's the person to wash any kind of bad fortune in your life. Just simply, he can wash it out. He's the man of fire. He took that fire energy and kept it in his third eye. He swallowed Alahala, the poison, and kept it in his throat. He is the person just simply wearing the tall, tiny tiger skin, having cobras on his neck, and sitting in the graveyard with the ash, and nonstop for millions and millions of years until now, he keeps meditating. Shiva is completely free and open. Bola. Bola Shankara. Even if a crazy person meditates and does a perfect process, Shiva comes and gives the boon for whatever he wants. Shiva never thinks, what type of nature are you? Shiva never cares what you are. Just whatever you ask. Okay, take it. And he gives the energy. Shiva is Bola Shankara, the man of boons. Otherwise, why would he give boons to his and his Atmalingam to Bhasmasara, Gajasara, and Ravanasara, those huge Rakshasas? He's the number one easiest guy to reach. He's the person blessing incredibly whatever you want. He's Bola. First, he wants to play a lot of illusions. Then once you get him, he's the person giving the incredible blessing for whatever you want. Boom, done. That you have to understand. These are the words of Sri Kaleshwara.
Namaste and welcome to this beginning teaching satsang in the program Shivaratri, the Night of Infinite Possibilities. I hope I said that right. Nityananda here at the Divine Lineage Center in Laytonville, California.
Welcome, everyone. Monica here. Thank you for joining us today.
And joining this program. It's auspicious. And every day is in many ways auspicious, but there's time cycles too. There's macro time cycles in this creation, the year, the lunar year, the solar year. And also in the, what we call supernatural energy, there's time cycles. And the Shivaratri, and this is following the lunar year, but the Shivaratri energy comes at a certain time in the moon's cycle in this creation around the planet in relationship to the sun and the earth. And it's, there's no way to overstate how great this time is for those who are praying for help and solutions and knowledge and enlightenment through supernatural means.
As you're saying, there are time cycles, and this is we're in a very interesting time cycle right now, as we all know. And as we're seeing in the world, one level of action happening. And at the same time, on the consciousness level, it's huge opening of that energy. And interestingly, there's going to be another eclipse right after Shivaratri this year. So there's a lot of change and a lot of new beginnings, actually. Even Shiva's the destroyer, but only once certain things are destroyed.
By removing. Exactly, in that cycle. That's right. I mean, Shivaratri by itself is very, very, very powerful time and beautiful time to receive blessings and share blessings. But this year in particular, in the moon cycle of the full moon to the new moon, which culminates in Shivaratri, on either side of that are eclipses this year.
Yeah.
And eclipses, we know, are really positive energy. It's actually so much positive energy, we can get overloaded with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a great time. Shivaratri, 2017. And we're turning to Shiva. We need to talk about Shiva today. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. But really, the bigger picture, too, let's start with that. You were mentioning consciousness right up front, and that really is our field of play. And also, it's the field of solutions for our troubled world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Really, that when we're looking at the goal of all of our spiritual, everything that we do, if you look at your whole life, everything that you've been trying to reach, finding God, finding reality, finding truth, has been to be one. First of all, to know who you are and to experience yourself as that.
Yes.
And really that's what Shiva brings, because Shiva is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in every aspect. I mean, everything we say about consciousness is part of what we're calling Shiva. Yes. In this.
In that opening quote that Swami gave, he was talking about Shiva as the source of everything.
Yes.
Right. So what does that mean, right? The source of everything. Because we think of the mother as being the creator.
Right, exactly. How do we reconcile how we talk about the mother and how we talk about the father? Because really, Shiva here, we really want to go to that base, that place of duality, that source of duality, which is fundamental, that male-female energy.
Right. And when we often hear that without the lingam, there is no creation, because the lingam is the source of the energy, you know. And when we think of Shiva, she and Va, both mother and father,
yes,
in that state of union and oneness, in the highest reality, that's what exists. That's Shiva. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're both together. That's oneness. Mm-hmm. The silence, the underlying silence of the universe. The nature of it is its consciousness. Pure consciousness. Mm-hmm. The nature of that consciousness is bliss.
And love.
And love.
Right.
And this whole drama comes together out of Shiva's desire to experience himself.
Exactly. Here, this him now is the one unified God. So we just want to make sure we don't. Right,
yes.
Exactly. But it's really, isn't it? I mean, that God energy, that one unity splits into the duality to know itself. And then the female aspects plays one role in that. And the male aspect plays another.
But it's also an illusion that they're separate.
That's they're never separate.
Mm-hmm. And it's all this beautiful divine love affair where Shiva is watching his wife create every infinite
everything
form.
She creates. He gives the money. He gives the seed. And then she just buys everything that nobody could ever imagine he existed. And then he receives that back.
And he's watching it.
Yes.
He's observing all of it, all of her play. Mm-hmm. The consciousness is the observer, the witness of everything that she's creating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that,
including every thought, every impulse, every desire, right, not just the macro gross, but it's, I mean, we're talking every level of experience.
That's right, including in us. See, this is not just...
Especially here.
Right, so not just the cosmic realm that we're talking, it happens in us. That consciousness, that witness, that what is observing all of us through us,
yeah,
is Shiva. And that is when we we're talking about Shiva giving consciousness, especially on Shivaratri. That's what he's doing. He's coming to give consciousness to the world, Brahma consciousness.
Exactly.
Which is what? It's Aham Brahmasmi.
Mm-hmm.
I am one. It's your I one.
That.
It's
that
oneness.
Is me. Exactly.
It's oneness. Mm-hmm. That is what Shiva is bringing, or bringing us back to the awareness of our oneness.
Right.
All of this other stuff is the grandmother's play. You know, all of our emotions, all of our actions.
Grandmother's play. Nice pun.
No, exactly. And we're in that because we love it. That's why we're in it in one part. And so we don't want it anymore. And then she brings us to the awareness of the Father, to consciousness. That's where Mother is taking us. That's where her Shakti is taking us, as her Shakti is in us and transforming all of our chakras, awakening our chakras and lifting us to that highest state, which is union, which is Shiva, which is the oneness, where you are always aware of the source that is in you. You are always aware that you are that, even as this great big drama that you're involved with, and you're a player in that. And so really we look at Shiva. We talk a lot about Shiva and the duality, because that's where originally we start from, duality.
Yeah, especially today on the planet, we all start. Even you were born and raised in an ashram. I mean, maybe if some Rishi's ashram in the Himalayas or something exists where the world doesn't affect. But everywhere else it affects, and it affects us by believing in material, believing in surface, believing in identity, believing these all these illusions as reality. So we have to start in duality and work our way out. But what you just said is such a great way to approach that.
And if we look at Shiva to understand from the point of view, coming from a different perspective now, the perspective is that Shiva is in you. Rather than
Shiva. I am Shiva. That literally means I am Shiva.
And that's the perspective that we have to, that's the only perspective that we need to shift, is to come from that. That no matter what happens, that source is there. And no matter what we've done, no matter what we think, really, no matter anything,
yes,
that source has never changed.
And that source is Bola in that way, and all-forgiving in the way that Jesus really... I mean, Jesus represents, in a way, maybe the greatest human being ever to embody Shiva's forgiveness, yes, on the planet. But that is there. It doesn't change no matter what we think or whatever.
No, it doesn't matter what we've done or what we think. Like when we think of Shiva in his form, right, he has all these ganas around him, all these rakshasas.
So what is that, a gana or a rakshasa?
Yeah, these are all negative beings, right? Why is Shiva doing that? What does that signify?
And why are they amongst all the divinity that we can easily embrace and say, oh, yes.
Right. Why is that? Because he's the father of all. He's loving every aspect of the mother's creation.
Exactly.
He loves every aspect of the creation because she only created it for his entertainment.
Exactly. It's really between them. It's between the two of them. You know, I mean, we shouldn't really...
We're not caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. As Sri Kaushwar says, it's really none of your business, you know. It's your entire life and everything you know, but it's really none of your business. And that's true because we don't exist. We actually exist only as players in this illusory dance, I mean, this romance.
That's right. And so, of course, he loves the ganas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, because he's the one observing and loving everything.
Mm-hmm.
What did Swami say? You know, he's in constant meditation on all. What is he meditating on?
Her creation. Her, actually. But it's the big her, you know. It's
right.
The very big her.
It's creation. She's creation. Uh-huh. And he's meditating on that.
And sometimes he gets depressed meditating on that, you know. I mean, seriously, in the Vedic stories, because we can understand it's a big creation. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot going on there.
Well, we're talking, it's so interesting, we're talking metaphorically as this, you know, in one way, because it's also a state of consciousness, right?
Yes, for
you
sure.
You know, and And the reality is that Shiva's state of consciousness has different levels of it.
That exists at the same time.
That exists
always.
At the same time. Yeah. And those levels are really how the illusion obscures his vision. With the and it's
well,
this
purposefully, you know.
Right.
It's like here, put this blindfold on me, and then I'll forget that I ever had eyes.
Right.
But you're
and that's it. You know, in order for creation to happen, he has to forget. There's a part of this. Mm-hmm. There's always a part that's watching, and there's always a part that's seeing. But then, as he's multiplying, or as he's as that process of creation is happening, and forms are coming. There are various layers of illusions
covering that.
So, of course, you can say he's afraid to, because he knows about he. Shiva comes in this creation, and then totally forgets. Yeah. You know, and that's us.
Which is the game exactly, and that's us. You know,
that's
and that's very clear from the ancient knowledge that's a philosophical tenet in the way the way we're approaching it. But it's very important to realize that we're, as Sri Kalaswara put it, that we're all agents of Shiva researching her. Uh-huh. We're all in that game as little ambassadors, envoys. I don't know what the word is. Because also this play between them, and there's this macro level, and then there's a less macro level, which is our lives. But then there's the micro level, which is each of us, inside of each of us.
Inside of us.
And that play between them and the consciousness in us and everything else that is about us, which is her, everything, every thought,
everything
every experience,
right?
Everything manifests in any way through perception, whether you know it or not, you know, is her. So that's really that play between them at the micro level is really what this program is about.
Yes.
And what will change the larger levels of our creation, meaning the more, you know, in space, larger.
And that to understand that play that is happening within us, the source, the observer is watching. He's there. It's not a he.
No, it's not.
You
we
know,
say that because we have to use
these. Because yeah. We're in human form, and so we have to find ways to relate to the, like you know, Swami used to say, in the end, it's only finally it's the energies interacting with one another.
You know? Exactly.
And, but yet for us to understand, because we're using our minds, which is a limited instrument, can be a very good instrument or a very bad instrument, but it can be a very good instrument because it helps us to understand some of these bigger realities. And then once we at least have some understanding, then the energy can take us to that experience, you know?
Yeah, we have to start in form. We have to start with these gender things. And we're definitely personifying energy, which is not personified.
Right.
It's like we personify ourselves. We also are not. But we have to give ourselves permission to do that, or find the words that do that. And also recognize that it's not just in this discussion, he and the consciousness and she and the Shakti, but it's throughout the ancient knowledge that we practice. You know, there's philosophical tenets, you know, there's an underlying esoteric or whatever it is, framework that we understand and build and grow consciousness through. And it uses these stories that personify the God energies.
Right.
And that's perfect for us because in the God consciousness stages, we're all children. We need those little fairy books, you know, we do. I mean, and that's how we'll learn the truths that we need to, as you said, finally experience for ourselves and discover who we are. Then, you know, as Swami's teachings went on, how much did he, you know, he really did universalize things. So that he would talk about Shiva consciousness and other kinds, and then finally he would just call it consciousness.
Right.
Let's get back to this play inside of each of us.
Yes, the play.
Yeah, because that's really what's driving everybody crazy. And that's just a misidentification with what's being perceived. Like seeing a tree and thinking you're the tree, that's exactly the same as seeing a thought. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same. That the consciousness actually exists and is watching, the thoughts are also being generated.
So we can say, for example, what Shiva, we talked about, the quote was about him being in constant vairagya, mm-hmm. right? Detachment. That's, if we connect to the source within us, if we turn our attention to the source within us, it's a matter of just shift of attention. The source of our thoughts, the source that's watching. Who is it that's watching? right now from in you. Something is watching and observing.
Mm-hmm.
Detachedly, you know, because...
Purely detached.
Purely detached.
Actually, that with the same detachment as Shiva is Vairagya.
Because it is that. And when we are in touch with that, then the illusions of our mind, all the things in our mind, instead of us becoming attached to those things and holding on to those things, making those things real, actually appear real because we're really holding them, which makes it real. If we're focused on that awareness of the source, Shiva, that's observing, then that detachment in this illusion comes.
Yes.
That's what grows that because we're in the state.
Isn't that interesting? When we're focusing, and that's that inward focus that every tradition talks about. That's the third eye, that's Shiva. I mean, we're all focusing whatever we want to call it, we're calling it Shiva. When we focus our attention inward, then automatically we detach. It doesn't mean we become hermits or look like crazy people. We might already look like that or not. But it has to do with this detachment at level of identification,
right.
Which is everything when it comes to how our energy systems are working. Who do we believe we are and what do we believe is important and real?
Right. And we know when we're tortured by the constant thoughts of our mind, you know, that the problem is always that we are in the thoughts,
yeah,
right? And then we're believing the thoughts, and they're actually in the process of creating those very things in our life. But then when we're just shifting our attention to that inner space in us, and we observe that those things start to dissolve, right?
Yes.
You know,
that's the power of witness. I mean, really, you're getting towards the power of consciousness. I mean, Jesus spoke about it. We know that still from Jesus' teachings. The power. I'm sure that every tradition talks about that in its own way too.
Right.
But it's a self-witnessing that is self-enlightening. And actually, it is self-enlightening.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we don't get it from someone else. We follow the guidance, we practice together, but it's self-generated.
You have to become aware of it yourself.
Yeah.
You can have grace, and then the grace leads you to that. That's what Shivaratri is about.
Yes.
The night of grace.
That's a good point.
Shiva. Okay. That's what Shiva's doing. He's giving consciousness, you know.
And that's what he does on that night, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's stories of people getting what we're talking about by accident, but that's because they followed these mechanistic rules and formulas that are operating in the nature, her rules, and they just accidentally unlocked the safe, you know, and all of a sudden it popped open.
And that's what, you know, if we look at Shivaratri, and it's really, we talk about the mother and Shiva being in union. Then if we think about it ourselves, right, that means that's happening inside of us too. So Shiva and the mother in union is that state of Shiva. Sometimes they call it, you know, Parabhaidava or Parameshwara, or they have a lot of different
names. What are some of the other names? Because these are all the same thing.
Yeah, they're different angles. They call it Parabhaidava, that we are Parabhaidava. That we are Sadashiva, that we are Parameshwara.
Right, different esoteric traditions describing this.
Right, or we are...
Well, the silence.
Or we are the I am.
Mm-hmm.
We're that I am consciousness. We are that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all... silence is another name. The source. Mm-hmm. Go back to the source. Mm-hmm. That's another name. Mm-hmm. Our inner self.
Mm-hmm.
That's another
inner
name.
Guru, Swami called.
Right, the self is another name. And different traditions, you know, Ramana Maharshi used the self as describing that. But really, when we're talking about Shiva, we're calling him the Supreme Soul, the self, right? That self exists in all of us and is there and has never changed no matter what we've done and won't do.
Born and never dies.
The only thing that changes is our awareness. That is the only thing that changes our awareness that, in fact, all along, we are that consciousness. Shiva has always been in us, watching us, observing the consciousness. And we have forgotten, you know, it's a state of you know, forgetfulness.
Yes, it is that. You know? And that means the enlightenment is really a process of remembering. And it truly is that.
It's really only a process of that. And, you know, we do, of course, a lot of purification because those things that we have to purify that we're stuck with, that's stuck in, that they hold our mind there, and that's where we start to believe we are. And so really on one level, just the purification is that we can then see that, you know.
So purification is the linking of the consciousness, which we begin with in our minds because we believe that we're real when we begin. But for instance, this program is using the sky prayer, and then it's using a lot of energy transmissions. This is all using the nature. When we're doing a prayer, the nature is us. When we make our body to create that, or we make our mind to create that, then we're still operating in her. I mean, there's some direction coming there, but it's generating in the nature. That's nature energy. And so in this union, when we do a mantra, then we're operating that union between them through the consciousness and the action. That's the Shiva Shakti there. When we do the fire transmissions, then again, we're all in the nature. There's no way to separate any of us in any way at all as we exist and experience ourselves right now, other than in our great meditations when we transcend all these attachments. But otherwise, 99% of all of our lives are fully lived inside of her. We're all there. And that, you know, that it's all her. It's all her. And so when we're doing a fire puja, we're with these channels we've already opened. They exist. So we're affecting the nature, and then people are linking to that. They're meditating. Then this is all in her. This is all playing in her. But when we're collectively using consciousness together at the same time, we bring the conscious, the witness, the diksha, following guidelines, following instructions, just doing that, you know, following those boundaries. That's the Shiva energy bringing us back there. These are all turning in when we're sitting with a fire or whatever. So this process is really a magnified version of amplifying the union between them in a specific way with a specific outcome, you know, in a spiritually scientific way, in a soulfully scientific way. Then when we go to Shivaratri, I love that, you know, thinking about both of us as in union, you know, the Shiva and the Shakti are in union. Then that night, he is the night he gives consciousness freely. Right. You know, he wakes up from his meditation, whatever it is, it means he's paying attention to her. Right. She knows that. So her illusions go down, roughly down, because she's paying attention to him. But let's might make that in the micro. When she's paying attention to him, that means we're doing this process. He's waking up and paying attention to her in this creation, because she only exists in the creation and vice versa. So on that night, through us, they can have even greater union. And he wants to give the consciousness that, and so that's it received. It's really, you can mechanistically, all of this is
explained.
Exactly. It's been explained where this is what we're doing. So it means take the glass ceiling off your desires and your prayers. You know, I mean, really just see what it is in your life right now. This next week is a very, very important time. There's not a more important week in your life than this next week, for sure. And focusing and practicing together with this group process, which means the wind of everybody's practice and hearts and desires is in everybody's sail together. And then it will build over the week to this amazing next Friday when we have a 24-hour period of a lot of puja, a lot of powerful ceremony, generating positive vibrations, that sending to everybody to support this, going into bhajans, and then later a very powerful Maha Fire Puja, 4-hour Fire Puja here, in addition to whatever is happening in other places, which we are so happy is happening many places. But then the focus, that collective focus, definitely you should have on your calendar next Friday night, block the date, you know, even next Friday. Just throw yourself in it. In India, people will recognize this energy in masses, in huge masses, without knowing the mechanism that we just talked about at all. It's purely bhakti for the most part. And I'm not saying that in a detriment. I mean, to me, I have to just pranam to that, understand that collective understanding. In Sri Ceylon, for instance, this week, 1 million people will make pilgrimage there. And that's basically like taking an old 1950s rickety bus, in most cases, for the majority of the people, and then standing up next to your 50 favorite friends that you never met till that bus ride for 4 to 6 hours, because it's in the middle of this huge forest tiger reserve, and it's extremely remote. But they go to receive the blessings of a small Shiva Lingam. As Swami liked to say, it's like a small rock. Are they all crazy? They're going all that to touch a small rock. No, they're not crazy.
That's devotion.
We get to sit in our homes and do our pilgrimage, you know, online in a collective way, and that's our way. But we should do it with the same passionate devotion, as they say.
By the way, that's the story of Sri Kalachur going to Sri Salem, and you going with him by helicopter is included in this course, and it's a really great story.
Jay Guru. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit more. We'll talk about the process and stuff, but to understand, so the process mantra is the sky mantra. And we know why is Shiva the sky mantra? He's the cosmos, right? He's the infinite sky. But it's also that inner sky in us, that inner space, that inner being. That is Shiva. That is consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so to realize, you know, that when you're repeating that mantra, The meaning of it is to reveal yourself. That's one angle of it. So you will experience that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, well, that line, Shiva Lokava Mavapnoti, means the realm of Shiva is everywhere in all times and places. Shiva Lokava Mavapnoti.
He's in everything. And
but we need to start at home. It's really so clear. Right. And through that, it's just one step. Realize what's here and inside, and then you instantly realize everything.
And as soon as you start to bring the awareness that Shiva is your state of consciousness, it is your awareness, is the observer, is the witness, is the seer, that's seeing, that shifts our attention, right? That shifts our awareness. You know, Swami used to say, when you're meditating, that first you're meditating on the light, right? The light is outside of you. Then you're bringing the light inside you. And the third step is you become the light. What was he really meaning? In the first stage of the beginning stage of our spiritual process, we're thinking it, Shiva, whatever we call God, is outside of us. Right? That's, we're asking God for our prayers. God is in heaven or God is outside.
Like Swami would say, you're the big man, I'm little, please help me.
And that's how it is, right? Because we meditate, what is it? Our attention is all on the outside world. We're not focused on the inside world yet, right? We're not meditating. Then we meditate, and all of a sudden our attention comes inside. Then we start to experience, then the light comes in us. Mm-hmm. Okay,
through what mechanism? Through observation. He's saying you meditate on the light. It's whatever you meditate on. Grows in you. Right. There's nothing to do except pay that attention. That's our action.
And then when that happens, you start to become aware that that is in you.
Yeah.
And then the final stage is that you become the light, meaning that there is that stage of knowing you're coming from that place all the time. That's where the stage that you're in of knowing you are Padavairava, you are Shiva, you are the self.
Right.
You know, but that's the process of how meditation is.
But that's what we keep meditating and all of this happens. That's all we meditate on the light and everything you said happens. That's all. Our job is just where we pay attention. Like you said, what is our awareness? Where we pay attention? What we pay attention to? A lot of different beautiful teachers have put this teaching, I don't know how to paraphrase it exactly, but you know, whatever you eat, you become. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about that in our own way. But really with meditation, especially with these meditation channels, it's not just, you know, paying attention to a light without knowing any other thing to do except to say, hey, I want to know the light. Then that will work. It's slow, but it will definitely work. It's the same mechanism. But these formulas, these mantras, the types of pujas, you know, the instructions that the ancient knowledge is being practiced as right now, make that process very fast and powerful. It can be realized, and that's what it's for. This is the time for a quick, relatively, meaning short, a few short years to pass through and make that union, embody that Shiva Shakti union, really. Embody that peace and everything about Shiva. And basically, all we have to do, what's missing? Is the mother missing? No. Like Swami used to say, you don't need any more Shakti. I mean, the last thing you guys need is more Shakti. You know, we're not understanding. We're in her. But what's missing and what is coming is the consciousness to complement that.
It's really the shift, only a shift in our awareness. Where are we coming from? Mm-hmm. Are we aware? Once we become aware of the source in us, we look for the source of our thoughts. We look for the source that's in us, and we're seeing from that place. Then our attention is always on the inside, even if we're active on the outside, meaning we're always in that state of consciousness, you know. And it's a process of us, I mean, not to say that some don't, but it's been a process they just realize at the end, to realize that. So we have to keep, it's the remembrance, you mm-hmm. know.
And practice. It really is. It's that regular practice. That's how it's done, just turning again and again and again. In combination with the Shakti energy channels, really that just means how to connect while you're in the nature, how to connect to the cosmic energy through the nature. It's our body, it's the outer world, it's all the elements, all this is our philosophy, that we, this is our technology actually. But it's all about just connecting there and bringing the consciousness through. Our effort is just attention and practice. It's really just that. Everything about that we think is us is not. It's her. Mm-hmm. And we're not putting her down. We love her, you know, but it really is in this conversation. Everything is her except for that witness.
Mm-hmm. All creation, every thought mm-hmm. is, but it's really that Shiva breathes the life into the creation. Mm. And that, and then she, and then like what Shiva gives a seed, right? And then she makes it bloom. Right, she blooms it, like she creates, she's constantly creating it, you know. But then when you get tired of that, when you no longer want that, then your spiritual, you want to know the reality of what's behind this big drama, then your spiritual life begins.
Right, that's right. And that often comes in most cases through a fair degree of suffering, a lot of experiences. So you get fed up with it. It's like, what is really going on?
Right. And then you finally, you know, you're turning to wanting to know what is really happening in this. Mm-hmm. What's happening in me? How can I relieve the suffering? How can I find
out? First we want our own suffering to be relieved, and then later we realize that the illusion of that, and we start really understanding that we're here to help relieve suffering in general, all suffering, whatever it might be. But it's through the power of witness. It really is. But also we can get a little bit to Tsongkhapam here too, because inside, what does that play between what we call our consciousness and that Shiva consciousness when we're sending Tsongkhapams? Like we're going to be praying this week. Everyone has things they need in their life, right? You know, sufferings, situations. Also, there's a lot of world situations, community situations that we will send prayers. So how does that work in this?
Well, it's also when we're praying, like our whole life should be a constant prayer, really, you know. And when we're praying, if we have the awareness that we're praying to whatever form of God it is, and yet we're also one with that. So having that awareness, I am one with you, let us meet in that place and make this, or we'll meet there and make this reality to happen. Well, it's that we're not losing that awareness of ourselves, even as
in duality.
In duality, because that's where, you know, we are here you know, especially in the channels that we're learning, is to be creators. That's why we, that's why the whole tradition has been Shiva Shakti energy, because Shiva Shakti energy is the creation energy. And when you have that, and then you reach that state of consciousness,
yes,
you can be an amazing instrument
exactly.
for the divine to work through.
And that really is a major point. That is a major point.
Yeah.
I mean, but to back up from that goal, that and that is why this knowledge is in our hands collectively, and everyone who's practicing it is drawn to it after we tasted it all, then boom. And but it's the blessing is to have that kind of rapid merging in many beautiful, powerful ways with through the five elements of our own body and the external environment around us through those five elements channels, to have those direct connections to the cosmic energy, so that the energy flowing through our lives, that creative potential, is really great. But the again, the consciousness, it's that merging is also happening backwards at the same time, right? Because that, like, for instance, the Avadhut is a soul, the Bhairavi Mata, the Avadhut soul, that they're merged fully. So there's no difference between their thought and it happening. So we're looking inward with our consciousness, and then we're doing these processes outwardly, using our bodies, meditation, all of that, and primarily japa, mantra, and yantra, then we merge both ways. Or you could say they come, but we are, like Jesus, Baba, Swami, these are walking examples of the of that union of consciousness. But it's not just when we're at that place. It's way upstream. I mean, what the world doesn't understand right now collectively is that we're already creators in the same way we're talking about. Our thoughts are creating. Our beliefs are creating. They are, you know, whatever level or power of creation is there, but it's there.
Our inner violence is creating the outer.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's Krishnamurti, and he's, you know, he's really pointing to something we need to realize. Mm-hmm. He says the problems of the world are your problems. He's not saying it's, you know, in the more politically sensitive ways or something. It's talking about the vibrations of consciousness purely. He's saying there's no separation in consciousness. And we really need to get that. That will inspire us to be better students of this knowledge, for sure. Because right now, what are you creating? That's the question. What are you creating? Tomorrow, what are you creating? Tonight, what are you creating? Next hour, what are you creating? For sure, you're creating. For sure. If you start paying attention like that, do you really want to be creating that? Right? Then it's just a choice. I'll do anything other than create that. Right? And this is fundamental to this creation. I mean, this coming together of science and spirituality is quite fascinating. And, you know, this point reminds me of a whole growing body of knowledge in what we call modern science, which is really starting to come together with ancient knowledge. And this whole concept of this all being a play of consciousness, and without that consciousness determines everything, that there isn't anything without the consciousness there. Then in quantum physics and in looking at consciousness, there's a whole area of research in physics now that's 50, 60, 80 years old. I mean, it's known to be the case that the observer infinitely influences what it's being observed in every circumstance of certain levels of experiments.
Okay, so say that the
observer influences in a dramatic way every observation of these scientific experiences. You know, this is atomic particle things, and also. But
so what does that? What does that mean to the layman?
What it means the observer is determining what is being observed.
In those experiments, who's observing?
The scientist.
And they notice when they observe that.
Well, they just notice that the way they observe changes the results. And then, you know, the Heisenberg principle, it was an early recognition description of this, but then it's been developed. And it's just very, very well established that there is a real link between consciousness and what happens at the subatomic particle level, and also at the atomic level, because electrons and protons act this way too.
Right, but the point was that just something observing the experiment changed what it was that was
every
being
time
observed.
Changes it.
Now think about the ramifications of that. they're seeing that on a, you know, on a subatomic level, right? That it's changing. What's the difference there? If someone is observing it, it's the observation. And when we are in touch with that part that observes, the Shiva, the silence, the observer. And as we know, even when
it changes us, we're like that electron. All of a sudden, our position changed. You know?
Right, but not only that, like we can know that in a very simple way. When we just observe something, some block or something in the way, if we purely see it, what happens? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, if we tell it to a soulmate, right, that's a way of seeing it. It changes. Just seeing it. You don't do anything with it. You didn't try to manipulate it. Actually, it doesn't change when you try to manipulate it. Mm-hmm. It only changes when you just purely observe it for what it is. Mm-hmm. Then it changes. It's suddenly no longer, you know, you can feel it. It dissolves. It's changing, you know. Mm-hmm. But that observer, how to live in that state, yeah, of being the observer, you know, or being in touch with that. And that's, if, you know, this summer on Guru Purnima, we're going to go in depth into that because that's a state of immortal enlightenment.
Right.
How to live in that state of immortal enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And here we're touching the shores of that. And
it's enough because Shiva Ratri, the shore, that he brings the deep water right to the shore. Right. Really, I mean, on Shiva Ratri night, you can dive in from the shore. You won't hit the bottom. But it is enough. It is enough. I mean, how does it happen? It happens through this kind of satsang. It happens through grinding this. Every person who is, coming to this knowledge in this way, in this practice this way, grinding it, thinking about it, practicing it. I mean, the way it happens is right, is this. This is the way it happens. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, getting the blessings of Shiva on Shivaratri night is a really good thing. And we, you know, really what he wants to give is that consciousness, because that's oneness. That living in that state of oneness, that's what he wants to give all of his students, mm-hmm, you know. And also he's Bolo, whatever's in the way, I'll drink the poison for you. You know,
exactly.
I'll take anything for you. Mm-hmm. Give me that. That's not really a problem anyway, because he's just eating the illusions, yeah, you know. But he'll take all of it, you know, and he'll bless everything because that's his nature.
Yeah, that's his job in the creation.
And he loves it. He loves all of the Mother's creation. It's all he has. It's, you know, that's why he gives everything indiscriminately, because he loves indiscriminately. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, he doesn't care about actually your character and what you've done. He doesn't care, you know, and
it's reaching him.
Turn our attention to him, to that. Mm-hmm. That's why any devotion, that's why in India they're dancing. Yeah. A lot of dancing is going on, you know. And
like high drums,
dancing, celebrations, and Varanasi, they're going, mm-hmm, it's huge, you know, big festival. Mm-hmm. So he's here to bless, and really this, he's the master for enlightenment.
Exactly, exactly. That has to be said. Yeah. In our cosmology, for whatever reason, Brahma doesn't give Brahma consciousness. No. Shiva gives Brahma consciousness.
And you know, in all of, if we look at Brahma and we look at Vishnu, only Shiva is saying Shivoham. Mm-hmm. We are. That's not the path of Krishna and Brahma. It's Shiva who brings us to that. Hey, you Shivoham, you're that. You're that. You're the same as me. You know, he's the person that brings us to that.
Yes, what we call the Shiva energy in the cosmic, in the God energy, is the energy that the human beings receive enlightenment through. That we can say, we could argue about, not argue, but disagree about what Shiva is, or we'll call it something else. But that energy exists in the creation, in union with the mother, and the way we use that. And that is where enlightenment comes from.
That's why they call Shiva the ultimate guru.
Yes.
All right.
Shiva Sai.
Who's the guru who brings us out of the darkness into knowing that we are that. Mm-hmm. And that Shiva is the ultimate guru. And yes, the mother is doing everything to bring us to Shiva. Mm-hmm. That's all her play has been about, that, to bring us to Shiva.
That the way Swami put it as, a mother is the one who introduces the child to the father, right?
Right. Well, isn't that...
It's true,
it's
too.
In nature,
the baby's
too.
Born and the father meets him.
You know.
Or her.
So.
That's the first create. That's the creation he receives. You know, he receives that back.
That's right. You know, it's also significant too that in, you know, in the traditional way, which wasn't always the way Swami went, is to stay awake all night.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see why that is. Mm-hmm. It's really about awakening. That's why it's mm-hmm. like, it means awakening is happening. You know, it's the significance of that. Hey, you know, and actually remember he say that, you know, then Shiva does take form. He takes different forms to come and visit those saints who don't are old and they can't travel anymore. Mm-hmm. He finds, you know, he comes.
But he comes a tricky way. You know, so basically be on a lookout. Shiva's, he may be hanging around. We are in the realm with these prayers and these techniques that we use and this group process of pulling that energy powerfully, even into form, so that an animal or a person, you know, whatever, something, the energy can come strongly and interact with you through the nature that way. So be on the lookout.
Yes, it's easy to miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And chances, I mean, more often than not, we do miss it in the moment and then in retrospect, sometimes early on in retrospect or sometimes later on in retrospect. When that happens, just celebrate and say, I'm so grateful and thankful, rather than, oh, I missed it, you know. That's the first reaction for the human mind. But the fact is Shiva's in charge of that, you know. I mean, if you're going to wake, your consciousness is in his hands in a way. The real consciousness that we have is Shiva. Let's put it that way.
Before we do that, let's talk a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We can... Good. So this summer, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but we'll just mention it a little bit now. We'll be doing the on-site Seoul University here. We just want to let everybody know about that. It will be more extensive than it was last year in our inaugural maiden voyage. It will be 11 weeks long and start in June. I think middle of June to the middle of August or something like that. And a series of 1 week or small programs like that. Also opportunities for doing longer sadhanas, especially things like the inner elements, which are extremely necessary to be done correctly in these channels and have to be done on a power spot. That's a good sadhana to come here and do.
Yeah. And so let me just talk about some of the courses we're going to do. The cosmic channels, and that will be taught by Zahira, and the fire puja workshop, which will be extensive training, a week long of how to do fire puja.
And then doing a 26 hours. We'll do a solstice puja in the midst of that week. So that's going to be, if you love fire pujas, or you do put fire puja, you want to do them. That's a great week.
Right. And that will be taught by you and Patrick and I.
Yeah, we have a whole crew of people here. Yeah. We do so many pujas.
And you can learn to lead fire pujas there. And then the next will be Sai Shakti healing, and you'll be teaching that. And living in immortal enlightenment will be our Guru Purnima subject. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into Who Am I? And it's the week after that, which is...
It's kind of a two-week Guru Purnima thing with Guru Purnima in the middle.
Right, which is... really the teachings of Ramana Maharshi and Advaita.
Yeah, Advaita.
And we'll be talking about Krishnamurti too during that time. Mm-hmm. And so we can see we're going heavily into the non-dual state, right?
But we need to link. I mean, that's going to be a great opportunity for us to talk about how to reconcile Advaita or form with formless Advaita.
And then there'll be different sadhana programs. Cindy will be teaching the womb chakra system, and there will also be a during this time there'll be a program for mothers and children.
Yes,
and we taught that should be really fun. And the five element system beginning in advance will be taught by Ramakrishna. And then we have a 2-week bhajan camp, which is going to be really great.
Yeah.
Sabina and Christina will be teaching that, and that should be...
Get your tickets now. Ticketmaster.
It'll be really good.
Yeah.
And then you'll be teaching...
we'll finish with a weekend going deeply into yantras.
In advanced yantras.
Yeah, it'll be really. An advanced yantras.
And that's going to be a very limited course, actually. So that just gives an idea of what's coming in the summer.
So let's pause now, and we don't have the ability to, yeah. So we're going to pause now and thank everyone for joining, and we're really excited. Again, this is one part that sounds like a pep talk, and it should be, and we hope everybody's a little pepped up, or a lot pepped up. It really is important. Our enthusiasm, our inspiration is a big aspect of the awareness you talked about, which is everything, you know,
right.
Even if we don't know, but if we are inspired, you know, we're enthusiastic, then that is enough for Shiva Sai to pull us inward to merge with everything.
Yes.
Jai Guru, Jai Ma.
Jai Shiva.
You have been listening to Divine Talk Radio. Heal, empower, and awaken. With your hosts from the Divine Lineage Healing Center in Laytonville, California. Namaste.